Hey, DDP listeners. Just want to jump in here before we get to the podcast today and let you know that we had a little bit of an audio issue. We had a short in our microphone cord as I was doing this DDP. I didn't know it till we were finished. It doesn't destroy the podcast, but it is this sort of underlying sound in the background. We've tweaked it the best we can. If I didn't feel like you could hear what was going on and follow along without too much distraction, I just wouldn't air it. I wanted to air it because I really like the content. I'll save telling y'all about the content for the podcast. Trust me, you can hear well enough to know what's going on. So I really hope you enjoy it, but also apologize and just let you know we've, of course, got it fixed and won't have the issue again. At least I don't think we will. And I hope you enjoy it. Grace to you and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for this 23rd of July. Glad you're with me today. I've been reading through the book of Matthew lately, just as a way of giving myself a little different perspective from my reading through the book of John, because we do the book of John verse by verse every Tuesday night here in our Bible study, and I'm just trying to see Matthew's angle, and having went through Matthew many, many times before, just thought it would be a fun little side journey. I also do that with some Old Testament as well as I work through different passages there. But I was in Matthew 19 this week reading the story of the rich young ruler. And I've done a lot of sermons on that guy and why he misses out. And I think there's so much depth to that story that honestly we could just do a whole lot of work on that encounter. I don't really want to do that because that wasn't really my heartbeat of what made me want to do this podcast. There is the amazing relevance of the fact that this is a Jewish man who asks what needs to be done to inherit, which is an oxymoron. You don't do something to inherit. You just are someone to inherit. You are a son, therefore you inherit. If he had known who he was in Abraham, he would not have asked about what you can inherit. There's the obstacle of his wealth, and there's the teaching of Jesus as, don't call me good, there's none good but the Father. There's all kinds of angles you can take. But right after the story, Jesus makes the statement to his disciples. This is not a statement to the rich young ruler, but to his own disciples in verse 23 of Matthew 19. Assuredly, I say to you, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now, it's a little interesting that Matthew finally uses kingdom of God. Most of the time, he uses kingdom of heaven. And I think a lot of that is because Jesus is teaching publicly. Matthew is writing this knowing that he has a Jewish audience, and that Jewish audience doesn't write the word God. And so a lot of times he uses kingdom of heaven. But note that Matthew will use those two phrases interchangeably, kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven. And they're the same thing. One is not a place called heaven, and another one is the kingdom on the earth. But they are an interchangeable thing. And Jesus gives two qualities of that kingdom in verses 33 and 34. That a rich man, it's very hard for a rich man to get in to that kingdom. And that it would be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Which basically is his way of saying, hey, it's really hard for rich people to get into the kingdom. In fact, it's nearly impossible. It's theoretically impossible. Because it's theoretically impossible for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. After a very large needle. Now, I know there is teaching of the geography and the architecture of Jerusalem that there was a gate called the Eye of the Needle, and that a camel had to kneel down and humble itself to go through. I don't know that. I've read of that. I can't confirm that's what Jesus is saying. It makes even more sense to me that Jesus is trying to give an illustration of impossibility, because the disciples say, well, who can be saved? Which I find to be an odd question. Odd, because why would you say that? Why would you say, well, then who then could be saved? It's not as if everyone's rich. But it was this idea that if you were wealthy, you had done something right. If you were wealthy, you were favored. And if favored people couldn't enter the kingdom, then who in the world had a chance at entering the kingdom? But Jesus says, with men it's impossible, with God all things are possible. So Jesus actually gives us the hope we need at the end of the story by saying what looks like it can't be done in the economy of man can always be done in the economy of God. So whereas it's very difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom, it is possible for him to enter the kingdom. Now, what does all of this mean? Does it mean if you have too much money, you're never going to get into the kingdom of God? And I don't think the kingdom of God is a place called heaven. So this is not about rich people go to hell and can't go to heaven. The kingdom of God is the existence of God's heaven invading the earth. The kingdom is around to this day. But it's very difficult to enter into that realm and that dimension if you have earthly wealth. And the reason for that is because if you have earthly wealth, you almost always acquire it and maintain it and multiply it using the systems of this world. And these are two incongruent systems. You're not going to be able to be at rest in the system of the world and at peace in the kingdom of God. Paul says it this way in Galatians 5 when he talks about the works of the flesh, and then says that if you practice the works of the flesh, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissension, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. What is all that stuff? System of the world, kingdom of the world. You practice those things, you don't inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, when you become infatuated by the stylings of one kingdom, it's impossible to walk into the fullness of the other kingdom. Therefore, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom. Not because his money's a problem, but remember, we're right off the heels of the story of the rich young ruler. A young man who had, you know, he had a portion of theology, but he was so attached to the system of this world that not even the keeping of the commandments could transform how he thought about his own security. Because Judaism or Christianity, it doesn't work to just have a system of moralism. Moralism doesn't change people's hearts. There's very moralistic unbelievers. There's very moralistic people in the world who live by the system of the world, but they're still moralistic. They're not new creations. It's impossible to rely on the system of the world to become a new creation. This man had moral superiority to his neighbor, but he still couldn't enter the kingdom because it's not enough to have principles. And there's a lot of principles floating around, but principle teaching won't save you. It's impossible to rely on this system and fully embrace the system of the unseen. So no, it's not that wealth is a problem. It's that when you rely on the system of this world, whatever that wealth looks like, you won't be able to rely fully on the kingdom of God. The good news is, what is impossible can be made possible in Christ. So yes, you can be financially wealthy, well off, and be in the kingdom. But it's going to take you divorcing your dependency from one kingdom onto the other kingdom. That can be done, and it should be done. All right, I hope you've enjoyed this little journey. Something new tomorrow. See you then. God bless.